It is 6:07 on the Central Coast on this Thursday, August 23rd, 2018. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. Good to be with you. We are here weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk KVEC. I remind you, if you miss any part of today's show or recent shows, check out the podcast. Craig posts it every night on the website at 920kvec.com. There's any number of ways to stay connected to this broadcast. Tomorrow we're going to have our Pet of the Week from County Animal Services. We're going to enjoy the apple pie from Lynn's of Cambria. We're going to meet the woman who is coming to San Luis Obispo to do the Joni Mitchell tribute show. I've got some free tickets to give away to that. Artist Tracy Taylor will be here. Also, Mike Burrell weighs in on the issues of the day. This hour, I want to talk about this article that first appeared in the New York Times, has spread to other outlets. Let me just quote the Associated Press. The New York Times reported on Tuesday that the U.S. Department of Education is considering a plan that will allow schools to buy firearms for teachers using money from a federal grant program originally designed to support student enrichment. An unprecedented step that would turn an NRA fever dream into official public policy. Apparently, the idea comes from a request from the Department of Education in Texas. And although the Department of Education has yet to make a final decision on the idea, they're not ruling it out entirely. Always good to have Matt Hoy on this broadcast. He is responsible for the blog HoyStory.com.
Correct.
Avid gun owner, avid gun enthusiast.
Yes.
Fierce defender of the Second Amendment.
Yes.
Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here. Would have been better tomorrow with the pies.
Well, one of these days you have to come in. What's your favorite kind of pie?
I like apple pie, so if you guys do an apple pie tomorrow, I might just stop by.
All right. You stop by at 3:30. We'll give you a piece. You've earned a piece after all the help you've given this broadcast. What do you know about this idea? What have you heard?
I read the New York Times story that appeared yesterday. They ran a follow-up story today. A lot of it's, you know, fairly predictable, the outrage and whatnot. My position on this is this isn't really, as far as I'm concerned, it's not a really big Second Amendment issue. It's more of a Tenth Amendment issue. I'm not sure that this is a wise use of spending that money. I'm personally kind of in the old Rick Perry camp as far as which departments you can get rid of, and I'd get rid of the Department of Education. It would be one at the top.
Well, I'll give you a chance to make that argument later on. Okay.
You know, it gets to the Tenth Amendment. I don't think this is something that the federal government should be in on. And frankly, this is just another place where I think that if they want to stop this, the place to stop it is, you know, in Congress.
Explain.
Get your representatives and your senators to pass a bill saying, no, you can't do this.
No, you can't do...
No, you can't use this... enrichment funding for purchasing firearms.
Right. See, that part I'm troubled by. If you want to come up with a different way, we can get into that. If you want to come up with a different fund for purchasing guns, let's have that debate. But don't take money away from enrichment to buy guns for teachers.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, and you get to an issue where, you know, what if this funding was coming from a school safety funding? You know, maybe that makes more sense, but, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, again, I'm of the position the federal government shouldn't be involved a whole lot in education in the first place. Education is fundamentally a local issue. If you want to change how, you know, the curriculum or whatnot in your local school district, you go to the school board.
Back on the article, President Trump broached the idea of arming teachers in order to prevent school shootings after the February 14th massacre in Parkland, Florida. The National Rifle Association has long advocated allowing educators to carry weapons on campus, and several states already allow them. I assume California is not one of them.
California is not one of them.
What do you think about the idea of arming school teachers? Let's start with that.
I'm fine with that, personally. And up until 6 months ago or last year, whatever it was fairly recently, you know, the history of this in the state of California is up until about 3 years ago, if you had a concealed carry permit in the state of California, you could carry on school campuses. It was generally it wasn't a whole lot of teachers doing that, A, because teachers couldn't get the concealed carry permits in most counties, and B, a condition of their employment usually was no weapons on campus. So they'd get fired. They wouldn't get arrested or anything, but they could get fired. A vice principal, I think, in the Central Valley got caught with a firearm in his backpack. He had a concealed carry permit. He hadn't pulled it out and shown it to anyone. He hadn't shot anyone. He hadn't discharged it negligently. The police came in and arrested him, found out, shocker, it was legal. The school district fired him, but the California legislature removed that exception for concealed carriers to carry on school campuses.
Associated Press article, again, gives us the background. Congress typically bars schools from spending federal funding on guns, but the Department of Education has been examining whether districts could pay for weapons using student support and academic enrichment grants, which were created as part of the Every Student Succeeds Act in 2015. The $1 billion program, Matt, is pretty much what it sounds like. The money is intended to help schools provide students with a well-rounded education, bring technology into classrooms, and create a healthy learning environment through comprehensive school mental health, drug, and violence prevention programs. But there's nothing in the law that explicitly says the money can't be used for setting up English teachers with pistols. And the Department of Education has supposedly been trying to figure out whether that might fall under the rubric of improving school conditions.
You know, when you get legislators writing these, you know, highfalutin law with all of this kind of, high big ideals and nice sounding, you know, slogans, but they don't actually spell out all the details and let the executive branch do what it will.
But can we agree that that's a stretch of the definition?
Oh yes, it's a stretch.
To arm the teachers?
Oh, yes, it's a stretch.
So we would have to totally divert the funds that were meant for A and put it over in B.
Yeah. The thing is, if you're like me and you're for arming teachers, and again, it's only people who want to. I don't want to put a gun in anyone's hand who doesn't want it.
Right.
Okay. So, but there are teachers who are former military. There are teachers who are former cops,
yeah.
who
are trained
or go out and get that training. Again, there are other states that do this. In California, when they passed that law taking away the ability of concealed carriers to carry on campuses, they put in a provision that said if the school district wants to allow people to carry on campus, if they want to allow teachers, they can. And then about 5 school districts in this state started looking into it, started saying, okay, what training can we get our teachers? How much should we require from them? What sort of background should we do on the teachers that want to do that? The state legislature looked at that in horror, and then they removed the exception. So, you know, this, whatever you want to say about this, this is not going to impact California at all. For the states it does impact, again, this will be a state by state thing, a district by district thing, on whether they're applying for those monies for that reason. Frankly, I think it's unnecessary because, again, those teachers who would be interested in doing that probably already have a handgun.
But perhaps more teachers would be interested if they're going to get a free gun out of it.
You know, I'm not sure. The teachers who are opposed to this, you know, they're not looking to get a free handgun. And is it owned by the district or is it yours? And I think this whole thing is silly.
Matt Hoy on this broadcast, we're talking about what they're debating at the Department of Education, apparently as we speak, sparked by a proposal from the educators of Texas that they want to shift over money out of this $1 billion enrichment fund designed to help students get a better education and use it instead to buy guns for teachers. We'll take your phone call straight ahead. We're live. We're local. This is the Dave Congleton Show on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. 620 on 920 News Talk, KVEC. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. Always good to have Matt Hoy on this broadcast. You can check out his blog at hoystory.com, where he just writes about whatever is on his mind. And when he's not writing, I think he's thinking a lot about guns. Well, you're a gun enthusiast. I don't mean that in a derogatory way.
I read a lot. I'm reading a very good book about the history of modern geology called The Map That Changed the World by Simon Winchester. Highly recommended.
He did the Professor and the Madman.
About the Oxford English Dictionary. Same author. Another book. It's
one of my all-time favorite shows we did back in the 90s.
Very interesting book.
So here's the deal. President Trump first broached the idea of arming teachers back after the Parkland shooting in Florida. And there's been an ongoing debate about that. I read a poll. Less than 10% of current teachers, Matt, believe that teachers should be armed.
Doesn't surprise me.
Right.
Doesn't surprise me.
There's that. And now we get this article out of the New York Times that the Department of Education is considering, emphasis on the word considering, hasn't been proposed yet, but they're thinking about this, taking money out of this $1 billion enrichment fund and using it to buy guns for teachers. What do you think about that idea? Well, we open up the phone lines. We invite your phone calls. 805-543-8830. 1-800-549-5832. I think we can all agree that we want our children to be safe at school. And I think that Matt has been making the argument that there are some circumstances when we can arm teachers who want to be armed under certain circumstances. But then are we now ready to go to the next level where the federal government is going to take money designed to enrich the students and enhance their educational opportunities and shift that money over to buying guns for teachers? That's where they lose me.
And frankly, when it comes to the funding, I'd prefer government agencies not try and pull this stuff in the first place. It's a stretch. They are playing word games. They're saying, well, if A equals B, it's sophistry. So if you're going to do it, you know, take it out of funding slated for school safety of some sort, school security, something like that. You know, this whole idea that, we're going to, steal from Jack to give it to Jill because, it's a favored policy. I don't like it. Just from a constitutional standpoint, if you want that money for that purpose, put it in a budget, get it or to originate in the House, pass it in the House, send it over to the Senate, pass it there, get the president to sign it.
And if people want to read more about this, the act in 2015 is the Every Student Succeeds Act. It's a $1 billion program designed to help students. And that's where they want to take the money and use to buy guns for teachers, although they don't explain how the guns would get to the teachers, what teachers would be considered. We've got Kathy calling from Roy Grande on KVEC. Kathy, good evening.
Good evening, Dave. How are you?
We're good. Kathy, thanks for calling. What's your take on this?
Well, I was a teacher for 32 years. I'm currently recently retired. And it really annoys me that people who've never spent time in a classroom think that they can have any kind of insight into what should or should not be done, and that includes your guest.
Well, but my guest is a teacher.
I was in Paso Robles classrooms from 7:30 a.m. this morning till a little after 3 p.m. this afternoon, working as a substitute teacher with students, and I've been doing that for a couple years.
Okay, and at what level, may I ask?
High school, Paso Robles High School.
Okay. Well, did you have any experience in elementary?
No, I have not had experience in elementary. Well, other than, the 6 years I spent in elementary school.
Okay. All right. Well, I would just like you to walk in my shoes for just a moment, and I'd like to give you a little bit of insight into elementary. And remember, I did this for 32 years. So I'm teaching a lesson, and I get the message that we're doing a lockdown drill. So I stop the lesson. The children are all, in centers and everything all around the classroom. I locked the door. I heard these 30 little 6 and 7 year old children into an area of the room with low visibility from the windows. Then I crouched down with the children and I try to keep them calm and quiet. So far, everything that I've said is things that I've done, because we have had lockdown drills.
Sure.
And that's exactly what we did.
Okay.
Now, under your idea of arming teachers, I would then, if I found out that this isn't a drill, I would leave those 30 little 6 and 7 year olds. I'd run over to my desk where I have the locked box that contains my gun. I'd hope that none of those 30 children panic and run over to me, which I'm sure they would. I'd unlock the box and I'd load the gun. And because I've supposedly gotten trained as an advanced marksman, I'd try to shoot if an intruder hopefully had come in after I had done all of that. Then the reality is that I'm not a marksman, because no matter how much training I would receive under this idea, I would never reach the capability of a marksman. So the back and forth shots would ricochet then around the room, and I inadvertently would hit one of my students in the ensuing mayhem. I don't think that you're thinking practically of how this would pan out for a teacher with young children who are panicked and wanting that teacher's comfort. Remember, there's 30 children and one adult.
Let's get a response from Matt.
Well, some of these trainings that they do, the teacher wouldn't have it in a locked box. They'd have it on their person.
Could I just interrupt for a second? Think about a kindergartner. Think about a first grader. I'll be sitting in a chair reading them a story, and they'll be stroking my leg, and, you know, they're very tactile, okay? And I'm sitting down with them at little centers and with these little peewee chairs that they have in the classrooms. And so I'm going to have a gun on my person while I'm doing that?
But I heard Matt say only arm the teachers who want to be armed.
Yeah, I wouldn't arm you if you didn't want to be armed.
Okay,
I'm not saying this.
Okay, so let's say a teacher did want to be armed, was insane enough to want to be armed. So then how would the scenario that I just revealed to you, how would that change? Would that teacher then have the gun on their person, or would that teacher then have to leave 30 crying little children and run to unlock a box at her desk where she has this hidden gun, because that's the only way you could have it in an elementary school.
Right. And I need to jump in here because we have the news coming when we return. Kathy, thank you very much for the call. Matt will respond and we'll take more of your phone calls. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. On Monday, we've got Kara Woodruff and Linda Seely will join us. Let's talk about Wild Cherry Canyon and Avila and the latest on that controversy. Mystery writer Paul D. Marks also will make his initial appearance on this broadcast. We are here weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk KVEC, where we are back with blogger Matt Hoy. Follow him at hoystory.com. We're talking about this idea that's being kicked around in Washington, D.C. by the Department of Education that would take away some money from the Student Enrichment Fund. There's a $1 billion fund designed to improve classroom conditions for young people. And there are those who are suggesting that we use some of that money instead to buy guns for teachers. What do you think of that idea? Matt and I are both rolling our eyes. But in this world, anything can happen, I guess. 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. We invite your participation in this conversation. Should the federal government be spending money intended for education on guns to arm teachers? 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. You wanted to respond to Kathy, who called in before the break.
Right. Again, there's training for this. I would never want to force a handgun on anyone who didn't want to carry one. The scenario she described, where she's got 30, you know, 6, 7, 8 year olds, whatever, small children, in a lockdown, and there is someone outside her classroom with a gun shooting at people. In that scenario, I wouldn't want her to leave her children in one corner as one tries to follow her to her desk where it's locked. I would hope that she would have it on her. There are concealed carry options that are high enough up that children are not going to be inadvertently pawing a gun if they are touching you on your leg or your thigh or something like that. So I would hope the teacher would have it on them. The other situation she worried about was ricochet. In these sorts of situations, the way I would kind of picture it, and again, I don't have this kind of training that lots of teachers do. They do this in Colorado. When I was hosting for you when you were out, I interviewed a woman who runs a program in Colorado that offers extensive training for teachers who want to do that and are sponsored by their districts. You would be in front of the students. You'd have the gun out aimed at the door. And if that door opened and it was a guy with a gun, you'd start shooting. And you wouldn't have ricochets because you'd probably be using hollow point bullets.
Let's go to Mark on KVEC. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm good, Mark.
Good. You know, the sad thing is we're here. This is what we're contending with. And ultimately, you know, we have to be grown-ups. And we have to say, look, if people are saying, how are we going to protect our kids? Well, the step is that maybe we need people, and I think we should, who are armed on campus so that these terrible tragedies hopefully can be stopped, but at least in some way challenged. Because let's face it, where's the easiest place to go kill people? It's gun-free zones. And schools are gun-free zones, so that's where they go. And they kill a lot of people real quick. And it's sad, but it's a reality, and this is the world we live in now. And I also think that we need to have significant outreach to determine people who are a danger. You know, many of these incidences, once they're tracked out, looked back on, there was plenty of evidence these things were happening to these young people and to these other people, and there was a lot of history before these tragedies occurred. The problem is nobody said anything.
Well, but tapping into the $1 billion fund meant for student enrichment and buying guns with it, Mark?
Well, I tell you, if it's to improve the conditions and the environment in classrooms, what better than to make sure that those kids know that they're safe and they're not going to get shot. I think that is an idea. I think it needs to be, I'm sure it'll be well thought through, I hope, but then who knows. But, you know, in this day and age, billion here, billion there. But anyway.
But you're comfortable with that idea. I'm just trying to get that out of you.
Oh, no. Okay. What I'm comfortable with is anything that will protect the young people on campus and prevent these tragedies, or at least begin to help mitigate what is going on in these terrible tragedies around the country.
All right, hang on a second, Mark. What do you say, Matt?
Well, talking about the funding aspect of this, I think if there are districts in the states that allow this, that really want to do this, they can set up a GoFundMe. I'm sure there are local gun shops who would sell guns to teachers who are qualifying through that at cost. You know, there's other ways to go about it. And I don't think that that's necessarily an issue with, you know, needing to use this funding to accomplish that end goal.
What else, Mark?
Well, as I said, first of all, people need to understand we live in this world. This is the way it is. We need to protect these kids. I don't know too much. I need more information on the $1 billion thing. However, let's face it. Let's all come to grips with the fact that we live in a different world. This isn't the 60s, the 50s, the 40s anymore. And it's sad but true.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call. 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. We go to Ron in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Ron.
How you doing?
Good
show, Dave.
Thank you.
You know, one thing to remember about predators, they always go off after defenseless people. Now, if you got protection, you got a way to fight back, they're not coming after you. So the more you can do that, the less you're going to have this. Because those people, like I said, those types of predators, they're not brave people. I won't use the word I'm thinking of. But if somebody's going to fight back, they're not going to be doing it.
So what about the idea to take the money out of the $1 billion fund and use it to buy guns for teachers? Is that the role of the federal government, Ron?
Yeah, I think at this point you need to do that. Every time, there's been other cases that people have been armed and have stepped in. I remember there was, a church, a security guard, a woman, had stopped to say, those things don't get much news play. But you know, it does happen. And so the more you can have that happen where somebody steps in and stops the threat, then I think a lot of this stuff will start going away because it won't be easy for them anymore.
We're being outnumbered here, Matt.
Well, I again, you know, after leaving the Republican Party and back with Trump, and, you know, he's done some good things. He's done some things that I don't approve of. And, you know, I personally don't approve of him, but I've taken a kind of more libertarian turn. I don't think the federal government should be in the business of sending states money to buy guns for teachers. I don't think the federal government should be funding education. That is something that should be taking place at the state and local level. It is for the most part. And I'd be happy if the government, you know, started to respect the 10th Amendment as much as it respects, you know, the 1st and the 4th. And kind of got out of the stuff that it's not, you know, they've used the Commerce Clause and some other, you know, clauses to grow the federal government to a size that I just think it's unwieldy, and I think, frankly, it's unconstitutional.
What else, Ron?
Well, the only other thing I'd say, if the school didn't do it, if the school district didn't do it, I think that the people could donate and buy the weapons. And I think in Texas, they would do that in a heartbeat. I would do it here myself if we needed people to come up with money to arm a few of the teachers. I think that's probably the more economical way to do it. And I think there's a lot of people would gladly give some money for that cause.
All right, Ron, thanks for calling in. We're talking about the Department of Education in Washington, D.C. They are seriously considering tapping into this $1 billion fund used to improve student scores and student achievement, student learning conditions, and instead using a lot of that money to buy guns for teachers. Matt Hoy and I both have doubts about it, but we're being beat up here by the callers. 805-543-8830, 1-800-549-5832. Eric's in Templeton on KVEC. Hi, Eric.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Great, thank
doing
you.
Good.
I have preferences by, like, I am a gun enthusiast myself, but one thing I'm not for sure is taking tax money from one source and putting it, I mean, I don't care what it's for, if it's for guns, gas, whatever it is. If you're taxing somebody for something, that's what the money should go for, period. You know, and if it's not slated for guns, then it doesn't need to be for guns. You know what I mean? Beyond that, I agree with what you just said. It needs to be a state issue. I mean, guns in and of themselves in California or New York can be polarizing to certain communities. It would never be acceptable, you know. But you're in Oklahoma, you're in Tennessee, you're in Texas. It's perfectly acceptable. It's part of day-to-day life. It used to be that way here when I was a kid. You know, every truck had a gun rack with a 30-06 and a 30-30 sitting in it, you know, parked at the grocery store. It wasn't a big deal. You can't do that now. You know,
Matt,
he's right. You can't do that now. It's illegal. You can't transport guns in California that way.
but even if you could, I mean, people stopped doing it years ago for the most part. You know, I mean, 70s, 80s, that kind of stuff. You know, I really after the 80s, you didn't see that very often. But I totally agree. It should be a state issue and you shouldn't be moving tax money to do it.
All right, Eric. Good to hear from you. Thanks for the call. Let's catch Jeff in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you folks today?
We're good, thank you.
Good.
You know, I've spoke on this very matter both to the Board of Supervisors, City Council, Board of Education. We don't have here currently in San Luis at the San Luis and middle schools, San Luis High and middle schools, there is no armed policeman like they had a few years back. They took it out of their budget here. The county did. And they didn't think it was important enough to protect our children and our schools, for crying out loud. But my plan, and I've also spoke with Mr. Parkinson and our current police chief on this, I would like to see veterans armed in our schools. We could hire them at a fraction of the cost, and they could be supervised both through the sheriff's department and the local police department.
What do you think about this idea, Matt, arming vets?
A couple things. I'm not necessarily opposed to it. First off, it'd be illegal under current state law. They don't allow that exception. And you know, the second thing is, if you're not getting that response from your school board, I saw on Twitter, I think, a T-shirt yesterday that just kind of spoke to this. It said, the mayor in Jaws 1, the movie Jaws 1, was the same mayor they had in Jaws 2, which should demonstrate the importance of voting in your local elections.
Jeff, what else from you?
Well, no, that's about it. We're talking about the guns, and it was pertinent to what I've been preaching and soapboxing about for about a year and a half, 2 years now.
Interesting idea. Thanks for sharing. 805-543-8830. 1-800-549-5832. We go to Lance in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Lance.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, you know where I'm going to come out on this. This is not the purview of the federal government, and I would love to see the Department of Education abolished because that's not the purview of the federal government. So I'd like to give that, if it's $1 billion, $2 billion, half a billion, whatever it is, give it back to the taxpayers, give it back to the state, give it back to wherever it came from. It has nothing to do with guns. This whole program has nothing to do with guns. This is a great, you know, red herring argument. What really needs to be focused on is, why does the Department of Education have $1 billion to hold over the heads and keep districts hostage, saying, if you don't walk our line, you don't get any of these dollars? That's the real crime here.
Well, hang on a second. And you're a teacher, Matt. Is that what the government does?
On these grants, they certainly kind of they don't necessarily hold you hostage, but they, you know, if you're paying the fiddler, you call the tune, and so they definitely use it to reward school districts and whatnot who are doing what they want, and they withhold it from school districts that aren't. It's that way with a lot of these federal funds, frankly, for all sorts of things. And, I'm with them as far as, you know, these sorts of things are not what the federal government should be doing. And, hey, you know, take that money, divide it by the number of students in the K-12 in each state, and just send it back to the schools. Let them do what they will with it.
Lance?
Yeah, and you know, if you think about it, this program started in 2015. Well, who was in control of Congress and who was in control of the White House? So before anybody starts pointing the fingers across the aisle, remember, if you point a finger, you've got three pointing back at you. So this is why the two-party system we have right now is so flawed, and we can see it in every day. And both sides are to blame for all of this junk.
But what is it? I'm confused. What does the two-party system have to do with the Department of Education wanting to give guns to teachers?
Because the two-party system created this program to placate. Why would the Republicans, who claim to be fiscally conservative, want to start making this fund for enrichment? Well, it's because they've got their side that they've got to placate to. Why would President Obama sign in legislation for this? Because he's got his side to placate to. And so who really wins from here? It's the control of the federal government over our local. Who has a better decision of educating our kids here locally? Do you think we do or they do back in Washington?
Matt, you agree with him?
I'm with him on that. You know,
we got a couple libertarians here.
He talks about, you know, the Republicans pretending to be the party of fiscal responsibility. That train left the station a while ago. That's, I don't think anybody believes that anymore. You know, Republicans are borrow and spend, and Democrats are tax and spend. So I'm not sure that I like either of those necessarily.
Anything else, Lance?
No, it's just, you know, it's the New York Times is throwing this red herring of guns to get people to miss the true point here.
Well, wait a minute. The New York Times is throwing red herring. This is what's happening.
The program is the true point. That's where the system's flawed.
But don't attack the New York Times. They're merely reporting what the Department of Education is thinking of doing. It's news.
I look at it as it's the true thing. They should, okay, if that's the news, they should be writing the story of this flawed program to begin with.
And maybe they will, Lance.
So, but that's where the miscommunication or misinformation is coming out of the New York Times. The story is this flawed program that we've been paying into to the tune of $1 billion.
Well, okay, but we have a whole debate about whether the program is flawed. Well, I don't know if it's flawed.
He brings up a very interesting kind of point about media bias and how you picture this sort of thing. Left wing media is going to look at that and say guns. Right wing media look at that and say, well, why is that program there in the first place?
Well, they're both legitimate points.
It's just how you come at it.
All right, Lance, thank you. Last call goes to Stephen in Napomo. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're great. How are you, sir?
Good. I think with this whole gun debate, I think we need to look at putting this money towards other things besides just guns. I think we have issues with people psychologically that need to be dealt with. People have issues and they go shoot other people. So I think we need to look at that instead of so much just looking at guns as the issue and fighting the problem.
I think he's right. I one of the interesting things that came out of the Parkland shooting report that they screwed up redacting down there in Florida and caused a big brouhaha was that the local school board kind of worked against this kid who was the shooter and didn't inform him and he was reaching out for help. Yeah. And the school board and the administrators knew it. And they lied to him about what help he could get, and they withheld it. And those people I'm of the opinion that superintendent should be fired, and most of those school board members should be recalled.
What else, Stephen?
And not just schools, with adults too. There's a lot of people hurting around this country, and they need help. And I think instead of just looking at the guns is the answer to quell people's whatever their problem is, I think people should look at what is causing them to do all this shooting and try to get the help they need so that we can stop this problem. Because people are crying out for help, and they're not getting the help they need, so they're resorting to taking other people's lives. So we need the help.
I think we can all agree on that, Stephen.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Certainly.
I will come back and wrap things up with Matt Hoy. I'm Dave Congleton. You're listening to Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show on AM 920, FM 96.5, News Talk, KVEC. Stick around. After ABC Radio News, we're going to turn things over with Buck Sexton. Buck Sexton tonight, up to the date analysis and commentary in the news of the day. Andy Morris and Scott Taylor will start you off tomorrow from 6 to 9 with First Look, everything you need to know to get you out the door. And Craig and I will be back at 3:05 with a Friday edition of Hometown Radio, including apple pie and free tickets to see the Joni Mitchell tribute concert on September 1st. Matt Hoy has a blog called hoystory.com. Good calls tonight. Final thoughts, sir.
This funding probably shouldn't be. I don't like the government playing games with words and trying to find loopholes and creative formulations to justify spending money the way they want to rather than the way it was authorized when passed by the House of Representatives and the Senate and signed by the president. This is not something that they should be doing with that money. It's a good cause, I think. If you want to do that, get somebody to sponsor a bill in the House, pass it, send it to the Senate, get the president to sign it, do it that way.
Do you think the Department of Education will go through with this, or do you think they'll kill the idea?
It's tough to say. It's, you know, it depends on how annoyed Trump gets and whether he wants to kind of just, you know,
use a distraction.
Well, not use it as a distraction, but thumb his nose at the media.
All right. Good job, sir. Thanks to our Craigs, Craig Schaefer and Craig Dingman. Thanks to Sandra Nielsen and Kathy Borland and Pete Evans and Matt Hoy. Always thanks to Craig Hill and thanks to you for listening. I'm Dave Congleton. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. Have a great night. Be safe.